Hey everybody, Dave Hodges here, host of the Common Sense Show. We are the show that is freeing America one enslaved mind at a time. And we got a chance to unenslave a lot of minds right now. The transition is complete. No more sorry China Joe. He's got to go. He's gone and went. I wonder if he slept through the inauguration. Anyway, another topic for another time. But we have Guy Gottschalk on with us from My Digital Money. And I wanted to get Guy's take on things like crypto, XRP, blockchain, regulatory practices coming in under Trump. Because a lot of people say, Dave, what's the future of Bitcoin and crypto? Well, we're going to find out. Guy, welcome to the show. Glad you could join us.
Always a pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Our pleasure. The crypto. What do you think is going to happen now that there's been a dramatic shift in power?
The prices have been going up because of the perceived friendliness that Trump has adopted towards crypto. Those prices, I think, will continue to go up this year. So that's mainly the superficial aspect of it, if you're, in it for the gains. But aside from that, I think from a regulation standpoint, a lot will happen, right? We will have a more friendly SEC chair. Likely it's going to be Paul Atkins, which is, he's a veteran of the SEC. He knows it inside and out, and he's also very friendly to digital assets. So I think already, the SEC will be less hostile towards crypto companies, right? And hopefully we'll drop the lawsuit against Ripple, which is the company behind XRP, will help make sure that there's less enforcement actions, regulation by enforcement. But also there's one major piece of legislation the industry's been looking forward to, and that's called FIT 21. That's the Financial Innovation and Technology for the 21st Century Act. And that aims to basically provide regulatory clarity, like what is a security, what's a commodity, aims to establish the CFTC as, one of the main oversight agencies, but also just provide clarity around, what is a commodity, what's a security, and maybe even differentiate between utility coins and securities. So that's one of the major pieces of legislation like that passed the House but not the Senate. So maybe this time it will pass both. And there's also the Bitcoin as a reserve asset bill that also was released and hopefully will pass this year too, which aims to buy a certain amount of Bitcoin to put in the strategic reserve over the next 5 years. So that of course will help the price. Will help adoption overall. So, yeah, I mean, we're looking at a very bullish year for crypto, for Bitcoin, for blockchain, just because of the regulatory outlook being positive.
Okay, I got a couple of questions based on what you said. Number one, what's the current going rate for Bitcoin, approximately?
Bitcoin's about 104,000. It hit an all-time high about a day ago. Which was close to 109. It was 108 and a half around there, and now it went down a little bit. But yeah, it's very high. Of course, it's above 100,000, and so we are very close to the all-time high. And XRP is crazy. I mean, it started off at 50 cents in November, and now it's at $3.2. So that's seven almost set, seven time increase. So
Wow.
yeah. So we've been doing pretty good, and now with quantitative easing, not just in the U.S. but across the world, having more money supply will only help. Having less regulation or more regulation that is friendly, will help as well. So there's multiple reasons to continue to invest in this asset class, and also just the utility of blockchain, right? Even within the government. It could provide more transparency of where funding is going. It can provide more automation, more efficiency. Even for the LA fires that just happened, I mean, just having, there's a lot of use cases where blockchain can, help provide, members of the community more transparency as to where funds are going, and also like holding government accountable, like seeing what the performance is. of different, parts in the government, and being able to just have that transparency and will increase accountability. So yeah, there's a lot of positive things that, can be done with the technology as well.
Yeah, the blockchain, I was concerned originally, and I keep spacing out the Google supercomputer that does these unbelievable calculations, and it starts with a W, but they've suspended it because it got into dangerous territory outside finance. But a lot of people were concerned the blockchain could get penetrated by that, but that I think it's mitigated because they've shut it down. They've shut down that supercomputer. How secure do you think blockchain is going to be going forward? And will Trump certainly try to strengthen that security?
Yeah, I think it's very secure. I mean, it depends on, the blockchain you're talking about, or the network you're talking about. Bitcoin is considered one of the most secure ones. You would have to do a 51% attack, which is very hard. You would have to spend, more money than it's worth to acquire all the different computers that, run Bitcoin. And so, it's almost impossible to do that. So I think it's very secure. Security will continue to get better and better. I don't know that Trump himself would be involved in the security aspect of it, but I think just providing legitimacy by making it a strategic reserve asset will just bring a lot of investment into it, and will allow innovation. At least the innovation will happen more in the U.S. now that we have a friendly SEC. So
That was
I
my
think that
point.
would be better
It's not
security.
Trump per se, but it's the people around him that will move
Yeah.
forward and help facilitate this. Why do you think the Trump administration likes crypto and Bitcoin and so forth?
Common sense. I think they're very business savvy. Trump is business savvy, so anything that's good for business. And so I think he recognizes that blockchain has a lot of applications, as well as AI, and that's part of why, he always talks about, making sure that we're an energy superpower, right? Because you need a lot of energy to run AI. And so I think he's trying to be forward looking. He's paired up with Elon Musk, and he's probably in his ear as well about, how good, what good these technologies can do. It's very early on. It's hard for people that aren't visionaries to see it. But I think, Trump, while he's not very technical, he aligns himself with people that are, business savvy, tech savvy, and he recognizes the applications.
Okay, now that makes a lot of sense, and I agree. Do you think it has to do too with maybe creating an offset to a failing dollar?
Yeah, I think I mean, I think he would still want the dollar to be the world reserve currency, but yeah, I think it together it can work with the dollar to strengthen our standing in the world, right? I mean, if we have the dollar backed by, gold and Bitcoin and other assets, it's gonna strengthen it.
Sign me up for that. I've been advocating for that now for several months. Well, I'd say a couple months since Trump's been elected, because this is the way we need to go. We can't continue to go on fiat currency status because the world's ditching the dollar for the reserve currency. So we need to find something better. Although I will say this, I think Trump's policies about tariffs will bring nations back into the fold because without us, they don't have an economy.
Yeah, I think, it's a really good long term to kind of build up manufacturing here as well.
Have you looked at all the TikTok issue and how does that come into play here with what we're talking about? What do you think?
Yeah, TikTok is interesting, just because I'm sure the ban. It happened for, a little bit, right? People couldn't get into their TikTok accounts because of the new law that, prohibits China from owning the U.S. Portion of TikTok. But Trump came in and basically said he's going to extend give an extension of 90 days on the ban. And so the TikTok CEO, brought it back online. And yeah, TikTok is interesting because, a lot of people make their money off of it. There's a lot of content creators that, their livelihood depends on it. I also have a report here that shows, it supported something like 224,000 jobs in the U.S.,
Whoa.
which is a lot. It's contributed 24.2 billion to the U.S. GDP in 2023. So it obviously, again, common sense, right? If you're the president of the U.S., I mean, you don't want to shut that down very easily, right? You want to find a solution, because the whole problem is, we don't want China, monitoring our citizens and influencing people with content. So how do you mitigate that? Well, I mean, one potential solution he just threw out there, right, without thinking too much about it, is like, okay, maybe the US can own half of it, so at least it has a say in how it's operated, right? And it can be, behind the curtain to see, what's going on. So, that's one thing that's being floated out there. But it could just be to sell it to someone in the US. I mean, I know that Mr. Wonderful made an offer as well to buy it.
Who's Mr.
So
Wonderful?
he's what's his name from Shark Tank?
Oh,
Everyone calls
Kevin
him
O'Leary. Kevin O'Leary.
Kevin O'Leary, exactly.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, so he made an offer to buy it. So yeah, so at least there's another 90 days to figure out a solution, right? To keep TikTok, because it's in everyone's interest, right? TikTok is one of the most popular social media platforms now. We'll see how that lasts. I mean, there's always a cycle, right? Facebook used to be the most popular, then Instagram. Now TikTok is very popular among the younger
Yeah, but you know what killed
generations.
those platforms? Ridiculous censorship and extreme liberalism. That's what killed those platforms. And Zuckerberg has no one to blame but his own liberal self. And I look at TikTok. I'm just thinking hypothetically now. If I were Trump and I was the master of the art of the deal, which I'm not, but if I were, I would be thinking, okay, China, here's the deal. You're going to get rid of all your spyware. You're going to get rid of all this. We're going to monitor it. We're going to take it out. We're going to take over TikTok, okay, and we're going to probably sell it to Elon Musk. That's my dream world here. And I would say, but we will give you 25% of the revenues, and you don't have to do anything. We'll help you. I mean, that's the kind of deal I think that, but we can't allow a communist Chinese vehicle to be able to spy and track Americans. We can't do that. That is a national security concern. And it may be the only thing the Biden administration ever did that I agreed with.
But maybe there's a way to do it so that they can't spy, right? And we still keep it open, right? So basically being more like working more closely together to figure out the solution instead of just like turning it off, right?
Yeah,
There's
absolutely.
probably a solution. So I think, we'll find a solution there. But yeah, I mean, I think I agree with you on the censorship piece, but also I think you have to continue to innovate as well. And I see the next generation of social media will be more like the metaverse, where people actually interact more in a virtual environment, or where it's kind of like there's a blur between physical and virtual, where you can go in and interact with people's avatar in a way. And I think that's the next thing. And if TikTok or any of these social platforms don't stay ahead of the curve and provide, that kind of medium, then you might see a new company emerge, and be the next one dominating, right? So
Yeah,
that's
I
where
got
crypto comes in. It's like the metaverse, blockchain, they go hand in hand. And cryptocurrencies is kind of the currency within the metaverse that you can spend.
absolutely. I do have a revelation. I'm involved with Chris Kitsey, has a tremendous technical background. Just one example, he brought crypto to Iceland. And he was a co-developer of Zoom. So, I mean, we're talking a guy that really knows. He's developed something called Private Line. And he's actually asked me to help promote it when he gets going commercially. And here's what it does. It's not on the internet. There's no collection of phone numbers or emails. And you can interact in a virtual reality. You just have a meeting room. Like, guy, go to 1234 meeting room and we can exchange files and data. And it can't be penetrated because it's not on any system. It's on its own system. And he got AT&T to set up the structure. Elon Musk is part of it. And they're actually doing an ancillary. It's not required, but you can do Starlink with it too. And it's coming up. So what you just said, I'm going to give you credit. You're very visionary because this is ready to hit the market. Is exactly, and you're exactly right. What you said is going to be the wave of the future, I think, is absolutely what it's going to be. You know why I hesitate on TikTok though? Barron Trump marshaled the forces on TikTok to help his dad get elected with the younger people. And that gives me pause. And I like the fact that Trump gave them a 90-day, let's work this out kind of deal. And I think Trump recognizes that too. And I'm sure Barron's at home going, "Dad, Dad, TikTok help you. You can't get rid of them." And but you
I
know,
mean, he flat out said that in his speech last night. Is that, you know, he likes TikTok because it helped him get elected, and you know, he owes credit to him, and you know, so
Well,
yeah.
Guy, there's a hidden virtue there too. And I said this this morning on a podcast. I said, if TikTok continues to go in that direction, our young people may have the formal education they're getting with their taught. Marxist communism is a good idea. We may get some reversal in that now through social media where the kids will pay attention to. And so I think there's a positive benefit for our young people. So yeah, I'm glad to see you bring that up. Do you think that Bitcoin and crypto could become a medium of exchange in that form?
Yeah, I know, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, it already is, and you know, there's there's various metaverses that, you know, use crypto where you can actually buy your parcel, right? You can buy property within the metaverse.
Property? You mean like actual real estate?
Yeah, but not real. It's a parcel within the metaverse. And there's even one metaverse that's kind of mirrors the real world, and you can buy, you know, a certain building or a property. And then, you know, people can come and visit, you know, the avatars can come visit, and you can, you know, promote on there, and you know, there's, you can hold, you know, concerts, and you know, you'll probably have virtual shopping experiences, right? You'll have a mall where you can go and actually buy things, right? You can see, you know, clothes, like a replica of a real world clothing. You know, there's all kinds of applications you can imagine. And yeah, and you already transact using
Wow.
cryptocurrencies.
Do you know what you're talking about here? You mentioned entertainment and finance and dissemination of news through social media. And the central word there is decentralization. And what do dictatorships need? Centralized control. This is anti-dictatorship stuff.
Yeah,
Wow.
I mean, that's what Web3 is all about, and blockchain, you know, decentralization, and giving more power to people, and you know, making the world less centralized. So that's why, you know, it's the ethos kind of aligns also with the new administration, and you know, having less regulation and all of that. And so yeah, I think it's great.
Trump is almost sounding like a libertarian, isn't he? Some way.
Yeah.
I know I laugh when I say it too, but this is very libertarian. And I have to say this, crypto's ahead of the curve. I remember I was invited to Ernie Hancock's place. Ernie is a really good political activist in Arizona with national influence. And I got invited to a party at his house one Christmas, and my wife and I were there, and he brought out the first Bitcoin I ever saw. And
Oh, really?
he explained what it was, and I said, "Well, if I use this, will I go to jail?" That was my centralized thinking from the Federal Reserve. You know, I was
So you
brainwashed.
brought out Bitcoin, what, in terms of like a hard drive or something?
You know, something that would you would get into an account on your phone,
Oh, I see. Okay.
on your cell phone, and it was the first time look, trust me, guy, this was a number of years ago. I'm not that stupid now, but you know, and Ernie walked through with me. And I still got the original. I had $10 he put into it, and that $10 is now something like 1700 and something. It's pretty cool the way it's done, and I just keep it there for kind of like you know, old time's sake. But that was the first time I heard of it, and then I started thinking about it, and it took a couple months to sink in. And I went on my show and I said, you know what? This breaks the stranglehold of the Federal Reserve. It took me 2 months to think of that back then. I'm smarter today, I promise. I'd have a higher IQ score today financially than I did then. But this is what I really like about it. Are we going to see cryptos compete with each other someday?
Well, they are competing with each other. I mean, you have like Ethereum competing with Solana, for example. You know, because each crypto is in its own, it has like a certain utility category, right? So Bitcoin is kind of a store of value, and then you have smart contracts,
Yeah.
cryptocurrencies, where you can essentially build decentralized applications on top. So Ethereum is one of them. Solana is another one. They compete, and Solana is where the Trump meme coin was just created on, right? You can create NFTs on top of this framework, and the Melania meme coin is also built on Solana. So those two coins, you know, they compete, and you know, just like XRP competes with Stellar Lumens, XLM, right? They're both used for international remittances, right? So cross border payment. So yeah, I mean, cryptocurrencies are already competing with one another.
Is that competing with the SWIFT system too?
Yeah, it is. Yeah, so It's a replacement of the SWIFT system.
Yeah.
So it's a protocol for international money transfers. And, Western Union is already, using XRP system, is testing it out, and other institutions are using it as well. And XLM is a competitor. So, I mean, yeah, it's like with everything else, there's always going to be competition. So, but going back to the Bitcoin you mentioned, like, was that like, do you have it on a hard drive, on a wallet, like an actual, your own wallet?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's
And it's
interesting
changed
because.
names like three times because someone buys someone who buys someone. And I'd have to go back into it and look in and see what it is now. I don't even know. I haven't looked at it in a few months. But yeah, and I do it as a keepsake. But gosh, I don't know how many years ago this was, but when did crypto start?
In 2009, so
That's about the right time because I'm going to say it had been about 2010 when
yeah,
we did this.
so that's very early on, yeah.
Yeah, well, my wife and I were looking at each other, what the heck is this? And I consider myself to be fairly knowledgeable. I mean, I was going to conferences and speaking on issues, and some of it was finance, and here I am totally in the dark. Hey, one of the things I wanted to ask you was about the meme situation. Can you talk about that a little bit and tell the audience what that is and how it's used?
Yeah, so meme coins are basically they're coins that don't really have a utility. They're more, I call it gambling, right? It's coins that people buy because they have some kind of, character behind it, or so the Trump coin is the latest one. And it doesn't, I always tell people to be careful. It's essentially like going to a casino and, betting on black or red, right? You could make money, but you can lose money very easily too. The Trump coin reached about 8 billion in market cap within its first day. It went crazy, and it made its way to like $80, and then it crashed to $40. So if you get in on a hype, you're like, "Wow, look at this person just made so much money!" And then you buy it at $80, and then it goes down to 40, and then it can go down to $1. The liquidity is also limited on these meme coins. So, these things pop up overnight. Like, I don't know if you heard of the Hawktula meme coin as well that happened with. So you got to be careful. I mean, I would say if you invest, put in what you can afford to lose. At My Digital Money, we don't really deal with meme coins because, we're dealing with people's retirements. So we really want, to enable people to invest in safer bets.
Yeah, I hear
Even
you.
off.
I hear you.
Yeah, so we don't do meme coins. We do coins that have utility, that have a real technology behind it, founders with track records, and
Yes, I
because these meme
agree.
coins, you're also subject to a lot of, rug pulls and whatnot. So
And I don't think Bitcoin, crypto should be bought on the dip because of where it's going. I don't think the minor fluctuations now. I mean, we just had a big rise, but I mean, outside that, I mean, you're kind of betting this is going to be stable. And to me, too, I look ahead and I've talked to a number of people about this guy. If your paper currency does fail, it wouldn't be hard to shift to crypto, Bitcoin, and so forth and make that full monetization. And your pain would be a lot less than if you just went with what we saw in 1929.
yeah.
And I think this is really. And I think Trump sees this too. I think this is one of his motivations. Well, I want to talk a little bit about My Digital Money because it's the practical application of what we're talking about here. I've seen you go through the highs and the lows of Sam Bankman-Fried's fraud that affected even good people like your company, where everyone took a hit reputation-wise, where they didn't do anything wrong. They weren't out, doing fraudulent business deals. But then you came through that. Now you're really kind of on the rise now, and things are going really well. Okay, so let's talk about My Digital Money because I highly recommend if you're looking for an entry point into Bitcoin, crypto, and so forth, this is really the place you want to be. No pressure sales. You just get information and you literally almost have to close your own deal. So let's talk about your company a little bit, why people would want to come in.
Yeah, so it's a trading platform where you're directing your own investments, but you can do it with an IRA, so you get huge tax advantages. We don't commingle funds, so you legally own your assets. Now, you don't hold the wallet, right? And sometimes people are like, "Oh, we want to hold our own cryptocurrency," but we manage the wallet for you, right? So you don't have your wallet in your possession, but that also makes it easier. It makes it, it takes some of the risk out of it, right? Because when you have your own wallet, you can lose your passphrase, right? And then you can lose your cryptocurrency. And
Exactly.
actually, I'm in Los Angeles when we just had fires. And there was a story about a woman who, her wallet got destroyed in the fire, and she lost, something like over $250,000. So, if you hold your own wallet, there is a risk to that. So, with us, we manage the wallet for you. So that, of course, has advantages and disadvantages. But you still own the assets legally, even though we're managing it for you. We have auditors come in and ensure that, what we say you have, we have in our possession, right? It's still yours. And so we don't commingle funds. We can't lend it out. We can't do anything with your assets without your permission. We just make it easy to buy and sell on our platform. You go
Okay.
online and log in,
So I have a question I often get from people. Well, Dave, what if I see it go up and I really need money for something then and I need it in cash to do what I want to do? You guys cash out, don't you?
Yeah, exactly. So, you can sell it. And it does take until the next day to get your funds. So you have to account for that. And that's because, the way we do things, we want to make sure that we keep your assets in a cold storage, right?
What
For
does that
security.
mean, cold storage?
Cold storage means it's offline. It's not open for hackers to get into it. So we keep it offline in a cold wallet. We have to have a small window at the end of the day where we make transfers. For your transaction to settle, it takes till the next day. Usually the next morning, your money will be in your account and then you can withdraw it. And that's why it's also crucial that we have assets that have liquidity, right? If we have these meme coins or newer coins, a lot of times they don't have enough liquidity and sometimes you just can't sell them, right? And so
Right.
with the cryptocurrencies we deal with, you could sell them and get your money out the next day. So
Well, that's an
that's.
amazing turnaround. And that's a lot faster than the banks sometimes now that are trying to hang on to your money. Do you know in China right now, the people are really almost literally can't get their money out of the bank? Literally. And then they put them
Right.
in unauthorized retirement accounts managed by the bank without even asking the people. I've covered that. And they say it's a practice coming to America. And under Dodd-Frank, which allows the banks to basically do anything with your money you want. That's why I like the idea of what you're doing with cold storage. It's offline. The bank doesn't control it. You control it. I think it's a great relationship. There's one other thing too that you have that I really like, and it's the play account. And tell people why, or how they could use that and who'd want to use it.
Yeah, it's essentially an account that has 50,000 fake dollars where you can at least try the platform. So you can sign up within a minute. You don't have to give a social security or any, financial information. And you can see what it would be to, trade, right? You can trade in the real market and see how you would do. So it's called a practice account in essence. So you can just try the platform out, and get comfortable before you actually put a dollar in.
Do you do it across different platforms, or is it strictly Bitcoin or crypto or what?
It's all the cryptocurrencies that we provide on our
Okay.
platform. So you can
Yeah.
go with XRP, Solana, all the popular ones that we have.
Well, I like that because, the novice who's kind of afraid of the system and they might be 75 years old and this is all new to them, they get their feet wet here and they go, oh, okay, I understand how this works now. And I think that's a really, really a good idea. So how do people get started? They go, okay, I've heard all this. I know this is the wave of the future. Trump is behind it. JD Vance is behind him. So we may have 12 years of this. So tell people, how they can get involved with my digital money.
Yeah, you just sign up on mydigitalmoney.com. And we also have a US-based phone, people that pick up the phone in the US. So you can call us. And that's why we're good for novices as well. So if you have questions, what is Bitcoin? What's XRP? How do I use a platform? You can call us, and that's 833-636-2008. But that number is on the website. Go to mydigitalmoney.com, and it's really easy to sign up.
Yeah, listen, this is really the wave of the future. The future is here right now. It's not really a wave. It's here now. I'm sure you're anticipating because of Trump's endorsement that this is going to go crazy over the next 6 months to a year.
Yeah, I mean, there's really great predictions out there. A lot of people think it's going to go to Bitcoin will go to 250,000 by the end of the
Holy
year. I think maybe around 180 is very
cow.
realistic. Of course, no crystal ball. We could always be wrong, but that looks very likely. Just looking at, the historical patterns, and looking at, what's happening with regulation and with institutions coming in, and with the potential Bitcoin being a reserve asset, right? That bill coming out. So it's very likely that I think it'll go to 200K by the end of the year. XRP, a lot of people think, I've heard 100, I've heard it would go to $100, but I think $10 is pretty realistic. It's at $3 now. It's not too late yet. There's
That's
still some
XRP.
XRP is great. Yeah, XRP is great because, a lot of institutions are partnered up with XRP, right? You have Bank of
Absolutely.
America. You have American Express, Santander, all these big, banks that are actually using Ripple, using XRP. And they also came out with a stable coin. So XRP is good because it kind of marries the traditional world with blockchain, right? It's something that's more within the guardrails of regulation. So I think that one is very realistic that it will keep going up. And yeah, Ethereum, Solana, I think those will continue to do well. So
That's yeah, I think it's when Trump says this is the golden age, I think this is part of the golden age as I see it. In fact, I'm putting in an order either later today because I'm going to partner with my wife and we're going to talk on the phone because I'm remote right now away from home. But I'm telling you, we're coming in, we're going to do more. And people, I'm telling you, this is really the wave of the future. The dollar is dead, the banks want to screw you. And I'm sorry to be so blunt when I say that, but it's true. Guy, no one really knows, and I say this all the time. Dodd-Frank 2010 says anything you have associated with a bank, they're in first place, you're in second, and they can take your money, they can take your retirement, and you're not entitled to any reimbursement if they don't want to. Generally speaking, though, they'll do pennies on the dollar kind of thing for reimbursement. We've seen that, internationally. And this is why I don't trust the banks. Folks, this is the wave of the future. Gold, silver, Bitcoin, crypto, this is the way the world is going because the bankers are too corrupt to trust. Am I honest enough there, guy?
totally. Yeah. I mean,
Yeah, I just.
like I always say, keep in the bank what you need for your operational expenses for the next
Exactly.
3 months, but your retirement, I mean, that's very risky to just keep in the bank. So, you have alternatives, you
Right.
have my digital money, you have, gold, silver, real estate,
Or we
a
close
lot of other options.
mydigitalmoney.com, mydigitalmoney.com. And what's the phone number again?
It's 833-636-2008.
Yeah. Well, to me, when I got up today, the sun shined a little brighter. And this is one factor associated with Trump, why I feel that way. Guy, thanks so much for coming on. Really good presentation. Always enjoy having you on.
Thank you, David. My pleasure.
Take care.
You too.
As I've talked to a lot of people who worked in the intelligence agency or high levels of the military, who were in my dad's age and also my father, they hated the CIA. Hated them. They said they liked them in World War II with the OSS. They did a great job. But the people that got a hold of the CIA, like Dulles, taking orders from Rockefeller, they were bad, bad, bad people, and they weren't loyal to the United States, and they are linked to the killing of JFK. Gee, that's why I got banned from YouTube. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to talk about something again that the CIA has purposely tried to cover up for 6 decades. And then when they get accused of covering it up, they release unrelated morsels of information that have nothing to do with the premise of the material we're going to talk about. There was a prominent scientist who wrote a book called The Adam and Eve Story. And we're going to look into this, what he said, what we know and what we can prove from outside sources. And we'll look at the cover-up of the CIA, surprise, surprise, and then we'll take a look at what's likely. Pretty scary stuff. It truly is, I'm telling you. And if you take this at face value, like I have, there's something to worry about. Unless you put your faith in Jesus, then you have nothing to worry about. My name is Dave Hodges. I'm the host of the Common Sense Show. We are the show that is freeing America one enslaved mind at a time. Thank you so much for joining us. We're brought to you by olive oil. You say olive oil? Yeah, no, it's not the Popeye kind. Okay. It's olive oil that you ingest. And I don't think I can find an expert who says that this is not good for you. It is not only good for you, It is great for you. You'll look younger. You'll feel younger. There's the cleansing element in your body. It's like a detox. It's wonderful. Dr. Gundry, world-renowned cardiologist, expert nutritionist, he says there's a problem. Yes, olive oil is good, and we should consume it every day. However, he says that all olive oil is not created equal. And he's correct. Manufacturers who are greedy, want to cut corners, make money after the big pharma model, they will take advantage of the consumers and they'll cut corners and you'll get less of a product than you should in terms of efficacy of what it does. And Dr. Gundry said, okay, I can't take this. I'm going to make a video free and I'm going to put it out there and show people what they should and should not be taking with regard to olive oil. Fantastic. And we should all be on the olive oil kick, but let's make sure we're not wasting our time and money. Let's get on the right kick. I'm going to send you to the video. Get Olive One. That's Get Olive the number one. GetOliveOne.com/Dave. GetOliveOne.com/Dave. And that's all you got to do. And it's completely free. Dr. Gundry, what a great man he is. You know, I wonder if there's a place for him with RFK. Be a good choice. Take advantage of this. All right. I want to talk to you about the end of the world. Okay. And I want to talk to you about a book that was written. It was called The Adam and Eve Story by Chan Thomas. And Chan in there looked at stuff and he said, you know, there's a problem. We go through a cyclical cycle. Destruction about every 6,500 years. Now, I know people in the scientific community that will extend that out to about 10,000 years. And that's kind of an intramural argument. I'm not going to get bogged down on the comparison. One has to do with the reversal of the magnetic fields, the other has to do with an ice age. I think they're both related. We're not going to get into that debate. But it's true, we do go through cycles that practically wipes out all civilization. And also decimates the population. Now, according to Chan, what he's found from his research into global calamities, and he's done the geoengineering analysis, he's done the weather analysis, he's done so many different avenues of this. It's such a thorough work that it's hard not to take him seriously. In his opening chapter of the book, The Next Cataclysm, Thomas wrote, like Noah, 6,500 years ago, dot, 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 like Adam and Eve's 11,500 years ago, this too will come to pass. Thomas connected these cycles to shifts in the Earth magnetic field, which he believed triggered massive earthquakes, volcanic eruptions, tsunamis, and extreme weather. He cited archaeological data of sudden global changes in climate and geography as proof, but some people said they're not convinced. Well, hold on. Mainstream media and your fake sources, how can you analyze something that has been hidden from the public for 60 years? Answer, you can't. Now, what the CIA has done is it's kind of like the Kennedy assassination. Let's release everything that doesn't point back to us, even though most people know. Like Dave Hodges, Jim Mars, Oliver Stone, Jim DiEugenio. I mean, all these great people out there that research, we know. CIA, you started the plot because you took orders from the global elite, particularly the American corporate moguls. Yeah, I'll name it. David Rockefeller. The day John Kennedy died, Rockefeller won the biggest lottery ever in governmental action. They release everything not pointed to them. And they've done it again in this Chan book, and they've released things that they kind of pique your interest, but they don't tell you anything. They leave out the really good parts. But fortunately, there are enough people who know the good parts. And this is an area that I have actually studied, as I used to go to seminars, tightly controlled, non-disclosure agreements about what we could and could not say away from it. I got a real education on this stuff and how it works. When Thomas said the shifts are due to changes in the Earth's magnetic field, That's true. What is left out is what other people have forecasted, like in places like University of Washington, where they say, and many like them say, including myself, based on what I've learned, is that when the magnetic field shifts enough, the rotation of the Earth slows down to an infinitesimal speed. See, we're hurtling through space at what, 17,500 miles an hour. Our topical rotation would be about 1,000 miles an hour, but we don't notice it because everything's relative and gravity keeps things in check. But if that slows down, the geometric forces of the wind and everything else associated, they keep going. Imagine getting hit by a 1,000-mile-an-hour wind. Imagine the height of the tsunamis that would sweep the United States in about 3 hours. Most of your survivors would be at the equator. Where would your food supply come from? Power? It's pretty amazing, isn't it? Do we know anything about the cycles? Now, I'm stepping away from the book for a second to talk about my experience in this. I think the Hopis have one of the best accounts, although their account is similar to China and India and other legends around the world. Okay, now we know about Atlantis. Plato even wrote about it. Lemuria is less well known, but it's a predecessor to Atlantis, as is Mu, which is almost strictly a Pacific-oriented region. And I think the pyramid found underground, which was clearly part of a civilized structure off the coast of near Okinawa, Yamaguni, they had some of the most impressive structures. The Hopis say we're in the fifth world. There have been four destructions. Here comes number five. They also say it's the last one. Now, their legends tell them the star people are coming back and will restore order. There's division in that opinion, though. And I'm not sure I buy that either. So, anyway, let's go back to the book now that you've got some ancillary information that's filling in gaps. The CIA took the book and classified it. How could something on this topic be a threat to national security? It's happening to the planet, not something just being done by a foreign adversary to the United States. CIA had no jurisdictional authority, but they took it. And now they want to release, what is it, 57 of the 200 and some odd pages? Okay, we know what that game is, JFK, RFK. Martin Luther King. They know who murdered him and why. They know the same people that murdered one murdered all three. I'm not talking about the hitmen, I'm talking about the planners. And the CIA will never give you that, just like they'll never give you the true story here. It's the most lying organization ever. Now, NASA's weighed in on this now. Why would NASA care about a book that's written 60 years ago that could end up being made into a sci-fi movie? Why? Because it's probably true and they got to debunk it. That's why. So NASA said the magnetic field weakens but does not disappear. That may or may not be true, but it doesn't mean that you can't have a pole reversal. And how do I know this? Because approximately 15 years ago, all the runways in North American airports had to be moved 1 degree. Why? A pole shift. What causes that? A magnetic reversal, in part. It's a mini, not a maxi. Unbelievable. Thomas, though, counters in his book, and he said these reversals could cause the Earth's crust to shift rapidly. So you have two competing crusts for control. One is the slow topical that slowly separates South America from Africa. We all seen the map, we know how they fit together. But the inner is amazing. And I covered this just about a week and a half ago in something related to another topic. In 1988 in Siberia, Russian people found a woolly mammoth, not from Siberia, with undigested vegetation in its stomach. So, whatever transported from a tropical region, that woolly mammoth, to a tropical region happened in under 20 minutes. That speaks to slow rotation underneath, fast rotation like the Earth's shelf is on roller skates. Oh, if the Cascadia volcanoes and all the template shifts there, oh my gosh. Yeah, we'll find out how correct this book is. So what Thomas said is he believed these reversals would cause the Earth's crust to shift rapidly, leading to dramatic geological and climatic consequences. It'd be over in less than a day. The idea is referred to as crustal displacement theory. Now, mainstream media says this lacks scientific backing. It may be in the conclusive 100% level of confidence due to chance 0.05 kind of thing, if you know your research anomalies and terms. That might be true, but what's not accurate is to say be that disqualifies this from consideration because the other ancient theories about Earth changes aren't nailed down either within that level of confidence. Okay, so we already see something concerning, and I mentioned this in passing to another story as well last week. It's called the Ring of Fire, and this is where volcanoes, earthquakes, tsunamis, and so on, they get their start. About 19.5 degrees latitude, it gets its start. And this is where the process begins. And it seems to be a cohesion point where there's a magnetic shift going on and it coalesces and the event starts to factor in at 19.5 degrees, which runs direct line through Mexico City. Mexico City's in big, big trouble for another huge earthquake like the one in 1985. Very big problem for them. Okay, also going through more of the book in the 57 pages they allow us to read, isn't that nice of them? His book paints a vivid and challenging image of what he claims will be a pole reversal. Now, let me step aside. I know something about this. I was at a privileged briefing, okay, with prominent people, astronauts, scientists, and so forth, in La Placidus, New Mexico, in 1997. And this came up. And they said, we're going to have to redo the North American airports and probably spread that. But they said they were covering something with information they had given to NBC with Charlton Heston, famous actor. They had made a pilot of geomagnetic pole reversal. This was going to air on TV. Also, in the show, it was really interesting archaeology. They found human footprints at the same strata as dinosaur bones. And this was from University of Texas archaeologists. This was in, and we got to watch the whole video. One of the members of the presenting group came in, they had the video. It was 60 minutes long. And I think it was, no, actually about 48 minutes long. And we watched it and discussed it relative to what we would know. Well, here are some of the things they covered. Massive earthquakes. And even in Thomas's book, he says California's mountains will shake violently, reducing cities like LA and San Francisco to rubble. Entire regions would collapse into the sea or be buried under debris. That's not controversial. That's not a conspiracy theory. That's accepted. Mega tsunamis. In one part of the book, Thomas said a colossal wave over 2 miles high, originating in the Pacific, will race eastward across North America, obliterating everything in its path, and that'll be the 3 hour end of America. Crustal displacement that we just mentioned. He theorized that the Earth's crust would shift suddenly, relocating entire continents, altering the planet's geography. For instance, the Bay of Bengal would become the North Pole, while the Pacific Ocean near Peru would become the South Pole. Global annihilation was another concept that was covered in this book. The destruction would not just be limited to North America, but the continents worldwide would experience variations of the same cataclysm, from cracking ground to volcanic eruptions. No part of the planet would be spared. Thomas claimed those events would unfold within hours, leaving little chance for survival or preparatory reaction. He said this is a reset for humanity, forcing the few survivors to rebuild civilization from scratch. Now, why did the CIA suppress this? The decision to classify the Adam and Eve story in 1966 remains shrouded in mystery. Speculation is that the agency feared the book's apocalyptic predictions would incite public panic. Okay, so is that even believable? So I pick up a copy of the book and I'm reading it. Oh my gosh, this guy says we're all going to die and the earth's going to shift and oh, tsunamis and oh no. Helen, get the gun. It's time to leave. Yeah. Does that even sound practical? It's a joke. It's a joke of an explanation. It's always about, we're concerned. You can't handle it. You're little children. Let the CIA and the government tell you what to believe. Okay, and a NASA researcher came out, and this is a joke of a statement. Extraordinary claims require extraordinary proof. And there's no proof, no science, no physics behind. How would you know, NASA researcher, unless you read the 200 pages, not the 57-page snippets that the CIA allows the public to read? You wouldn't know. You're a cover-up agent. NASA has further clarified that past magnetic reversals have not been associated with climatic shifts or catastrophic events. Okay, well, how do you explain the last ice age? How do we know that True North used to be about where Newfoundland is? That's accepted fact. See, they're ignoring their own science. There's no evidence that the Earth's climate has been significantly impacted by three magnetic field excursions, nor by any excursion event within the last 2.8 million years. Then why do civilizations have to start over? Why did Atlantis, Lemuria, and Mu be destroyed? Continuing. The book, it's a good book. The 57 pages I was allowed to read. Thank you very much, CIA censorship. The Adam and Eve story continues to captivate those drawn to apocalyptic narratives and government secrecy. Well, they're spraying you with cancer-causing agents with chemtrails. The chemical analysis has been done. They've been published. They've been covered everywhere except the mainstream media. It's true. And we had brainwashing and sometimes fatal programs with MK Ultra. Exactly. You just really can't look at this. And the mainstream media is calling this a declassification of the Adam and Eve story. You're getting about a quarter of the book. Does that sound like declassification to you? That's like covering the Kennedy assassination. They release everything up to the moment Kennedy shot, and then they blank out everything after, including the autopsy, the investigation. It doesn't make any sense, does it? Can you get the book? Yeah, just all you got to do is put in search engine, the Adam and Eve story. Why I think the CIA is afraid is they know we're near the end of an age. They know there's going to be unbridled trouble. And they want to control the narrative. That's why they're doing this. There's no other thing that makes any sense. So there's my take on the CIA cover-up of a mundane book. I just shake my head in amazement. Well, we'll see you back here next time. Thanks for joining us. Check us out at our newsletter, thecommonsenseshow.com. Go to the upper right-hand corner. You'll see the newsletter fields plainly exemplified, and you can put in your name and your email, but the name's not required. You can be anonymous. Just put in your email, and no one will ever bug you. You'll just get a daily update of everything we do for the previous 24 hours. I'm Dave Hodges. This is the Common Sense Show. We'll see you back here next time.